We just discussed the idea of spiritual growth and the heights a person can attain. If you go online on my website, 123torah.com, under special classes, so there's a letter called parental something. Just look for the word parental. It's in alphabetical order. Under special classes, it's parental something. I don't remember what. Maybe parental relationships? I don't know. And the letter is a letter I wrote after witnessing many times where students would grow and grow and grow in Machon Meir, and then they'd go for an innocent visit back home, and everything that they developed here would suddenly unravel. And it struck me, and I wanted to describe before you guys, what can happen. A person can develop, and a person can develop understanding, and a person can grow. And then a person really senses and understands what he's doing, and then a person goes for a visit back home. And suddenly he tells them, let's make Kiddush Friday night. And they say, sure, and they come to the Shabbos table with their cell phones on. In just a second, they answer, and they SMS, and he tries to build a nice atmosphere, and he makes Kiddush. And after Kiddush, his brother says, you know, your favorite TV show is on now. And he clicks on the TV, and he tries to say, you know, this is a Shabbos meal, this doesn't exactly fit here. And he says, I won't bother you, I'll put on headphones. And he tries to be considerate, and as the guy is sitting down trying to have a Shabbos meal, out of the corner of his eye, he sees his favorite comedian or his favorite show, and it attracts him. The next morning, they tell him, we're going out to the movies. If you want, we'll pay for you. You just walk behind. You don't have to come in the car. But we're going. And he says, no, it's Shabbos. And they say, can't you keep Shabbos watching a movie? And he says, no, it's Shabbos. But as they pack into the car and they head out to the movie, he starts remembering how much fun it was to go that way. And he looks at them and he looks at him and he says, I'm not doing that. But suddenly he's shaken. And he looks at them and he sits down and he tries to have a Shabbos meal and there's zero spirituality where he's at. And he keeps thinking, he has that lingering thought of all of them heading out there. And by the time a week is done, he starts looking at his whole experience in Israel and asking himself, was that real? Maybe that was all fake. This is real. And it feels very real. And it's so comfortable because it's the world a person knows. It's the world a person grew up in. And so a person can be there for 2-3 weeks and say, I'm not falling for all this. But when he comes back, he's been bitten. He suddenly looks at everything here askance and he says, wait, maybe this is all a game. Maybe this is all fake. I know I thought it was right, but maybe it's not. And then a person's confused, and sometimes a person doesn't have the patience or the strength or the time to work it all out. And then a person finds himself lost. And when a person's lost, what's the most natural thing to do? Let's go back where I'm comfortable. So I'm telling you this in advance, because you should be aware of what can happen. I strongly encourage when people go for visits, if they have to, I don't encourage visits, but if you have to go, then try to be in a good place for Shabbos. Try to ensure you actually have a Shabbos. Go to shul at least once a day. But the shul is an hour drive. Right. But if you go to shul, you'll have a reset button. You're walking into a house of spirituality. You're suddenly walking back into meaning. If you don't have that opportunity to hit the reset button, then the outside world, the material world, it's very attractive. And you walk down the supermarket aisles and you see the foods you're accustomed to, and you don't see that many of the foods that you'd really like that have a hechsher, and it's challenging. And when the family goes out to eat and they're eating in places that don't have a hechsher, to put it mildly, it's challenging. And so if we want to deal with the challenge, we have to deal with it really. And a person can very easily find himself confused. But is he really confused or is he just attracted? You come to Israel and there's no shrimp around here, to the best of my knowledge. Maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong. Okay. But it's not standing at the storefronts everywhere you go. I remember in Chinatown, I'd walk to Yeshiva And every day I'd walk by a Chinese store selling ham. I'd see the pigs. You know, the Chinese put them out whole. So I never ate ham, so it wasn't an attraction thing. I loathed the smell. But I could imagine that if someone else was accustomed to eating it, walking by that store every day, that's not easy. You see it roasted, they're crisp, looks delicious. Not to me, again, I don't... Every person has their Yetzer Hara. That's not mine. But believe me, I have other ones. I'm not saying... That one happens to be one that doesn't talk to me, but it doesn't matter to someone who talks to him. So then being here, he doesn't have that challenge. He comes back there, suddenly it's hard. So a person says, wait a second, but if what I built was real, shouldn't it be able to stand up to the test of that challenge? And the answer is no. Every one of us has weaknesses. You put yourself in a challenging situation, like Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You take a young kid, you put on good perfume, you put a wallet filled with money, and you put him in a brothel, and you say, now deal, you be holy. What do you mean? What'd you do to him? You put him in a place where he's bound to fall. Of course you put him with temptation. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a responsibility to stand up. Of course he has a responsibility to stand up to the test. But you can understand if most people will fall. The key is stay away from that. Don't find yourself there. So I'm saying if people are going to visit in Chutz Laretz, we just read about the elevations a person can have. I'm telling you that being in Chutz Laretz can cause a person to look back at the heights that he's attained here and ask himself, was that real? The Burger King seems real, and everything I experienced in Israel, well, okay, maybe. And even if a person is strong enough to come back, that doesn't always mean they'll be able to settle back in. It takes a lot of time. And at the end of the day, the material world we're accustomed to, even if it weren't that much better, is hard to detach oneself from. Add to that the fact that it is much better. Saying no one can deny that there's a lot that you can get in Chutz Laretz for cheaper and that's more easily available that you don't have here. I don't think I ever bought anything at Starbucks, but I did notice that every corner has a Starbucks. I did notice that every corner has a... What's the donut store? Dunkin' Donuts, right? I was a guest by someone 4 or 5 years ago. And the woman gets up in the morning and she gets on the phone and she tells her husband, don't forget on your way home from shul, you got to bring me a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm thinking, she says to me, my coworkers always bring it in the carpool, but I have off today, so I have to remind them to bring me a... If that's how you wake up in the morning, don't forget to bring me the coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, okay, that's how she wakes up in the morning. Teach his own. I'm not coming to judge other people, but if you're accustomed to that, suddenly you come to Israel and you don't have your Dunkin' Donuts, so then it will definitely have an attraction when you go back to visit. And each person has their Yetzer Hara. I'm saying it's a much broader Yetzer Hara. It's the life that a person's used to. The experiences we have as children are ingrained in us. And as much as we grow, it's very natural that when we come back to that, it feels home. It feels real. And it has a lure and an attraction. So a person has to think about it. I recommend not going if you don't have to. But if you have to go, so at least set things up before you go. Set up a chavrusa before you go. Set up a shir. You should give a shir. You guys could teach 5 minutes a day after davening. But reconnect. Go to shul. If you can't go every prayer, but go once a day, it'll help you hit the reset button. And Shabbos, be in an environment of Shabbos. If your family could join you, good. And if not, then that's not an option. To them, Shabbos isn't so special. It's not different than the other days anyways. But you should keep your Shabbos. And that helps a person stay focused. It's very hard. You're invited to go online. You'll see the class. I wrote it out. I also gave it. It might be... You can hear an audio class there. But the general gist of things we discussed here. Yes?
In the situation you described, shouldn't the opposite be true? Shouldn't the revisiting of the situation and scenario and the atmosphere reinforce the decision that we did to Tshuva?
It could. But at the end of the day, if you're used to Seinfeld and Seinfeld's playing and you're trying to focus on the Shabbos meal and you're trying to suffuse it with holiness, and as you look up, you look down at your sitter, and the rest of the family's laughing at Seinfeld, it's a little bit hard. And when everyone's sitting and munching on nachos and they order pepperoni pizza and you smell it and you know the smell and you know the taste and everyone's enjoying it and you say, I'm eating my challahs, which are a little bit dry because you had to bring them in from who knows where, and you're having a meal on paper plates with a tuna fish that you could find with an OU, hey, you don't exactly feel the holiness. It's a, you know, you're holding your plastic cup because you don't have any kosher glasses, and you're drinking Kedem grape juice. You don't feel it. They're drinking Budweiser and you're on Kedem grape juice. Doesn't feel the same. You try singing the Shabbos Miros and you have the backdrop there. They're seeing reruns of Annie. The sun will come up tomorrow. Now you're making Kiddush. Tzur mi shalom. But your mind and heart are there. And they tell you, just for you, we brought a Jewish film. Come on. Fiddler on the Roof. Shabbos. We wanted you to experience Shabbos. Okay, so it's not easy. It's not easy. And you're right. Theoretically, a person should look at it and say, there but for the grace of God goes I. But at the end of the day, very often, a person still feels a yearning for the life that is most natural to a person. That's the way a person grew up. I'm not saying this has to happen. I'm just saying often it can happen. And a person should be prepared for it and find ways to deal with it. You're right. Very often a person looks at it and says, isn't it sad? They don't know what a Shabbos meal looks like. But that feeling can last a week. One of the mistakes people make is that they go for a month. People say, I'm going to pay this much money for a flight. I'll only go for a week. We had many students. This happened many times. We had many students whose parents were missionaries. They were Jews who had become apostates and decided to try and convince people to leave Judaism. And we had this many times, and naturally a person feels connected to their parents. So one of the times a student said to me, I'm paying $1,000, I'll only visit them for a week. And I asked him, will you have a cross over your bed when you're in their house? So he blushed, he said, yeah. I said, so you should pay $2,000 to reduce it to a week from 2 weeks. If you had to pay another $1,000 to minimize it to 1 week from 2 weeks, you should pay that extra $1,000 to minimize it. You're saying, I'm paying $1,000, so I'll make more of it? No, on the contrary, you should be willing to pay another $1,000 to take it down by another week, if you could. I'm saying each scenario has to be gauged in their own merits. But I'm saying this, there's sometimes that feeling, I'm already flying across the Atlantic, paying all this money, am I... I'm only going to do it for a week. Yeah, sometimes you're better off. Less is more. And I also encourage you to invite your parents to your turf. Let them come here. Let them sit in on class. We have parents here all the time. Stay in touch. Let them come here. So, you know, it's the same flight.